Welcome back. This is Up North News. On the show Monday, State Senator Jeff Smith of Eau Claire and State Senate candidate Kelly Westland running for a seat in Northwest Wisconsin. Joining us once again here, Mark Jacob, former editor at the Chicago Tribune and the Chicago Sun-Times. And as we look at the headlines for this week, obviously, last week I was making the case that the Inflation Reduction Act was actually the bigger story, even though more attention was being paid to ex-President Trump and the classified documents that he had, you know, stolen away to Florida. I think this week now, while the student loan debt move is big, arguably the Trump case, where we're discovering even more classified information, was there. And the weird little legal twists and turns has no doubt been the bigger story. And I think that one of the things, Mark, that makes it big, is, as you were telling me earlier, is it's still rather puzzling in some ways how this is all being handled. We're expecting a redacted affidavit later this morning that might lay out some of the justification for the search warrants, but that court didn't have to order that. The whole thing's a little unusual.
No, they, in fact, I've watched a lot of these kind of investigations unfold over the years, and it's very unusual. I'm not quite sure what the point of doing it at this stage is. The deal is it's especially unusual when nobody's been charged with any crime whatsoever. And so why does the public need to see what the justification for it is? There's a regular process in which the prosecutors go in, convince a judge that, yes, there's reason to do a search, that they've tried other methods that those haven't worked and they need to do a search. And the judge has a very high standard for saying yes. And in this case, the judge said yes. And but of course, the funny thing, Pat, was that immediately the right wing is saying, well, show us the affidavit. And similar to other things that the right wing has tried to get, has demanded, they may be sorry that they demanded it. They may be in a situation where they wish they didn't demand it. But what I'm saying, so the thing about this is the Justice Department was ordered by the judge to come up with a redacted version of this affidavit that could possibly be released to the public, and did so. And yesterday the judge said that was acceptable and that it would be released today. But the Justice Department didn't really want to, I don't think they wanted to release anything. And because at this stage, why would they? Because they're conducting an investigation. They haven't finished the investigation. They haven't charged anyone. So why would they want somebody knowing what their partial evidence is? The judge on this, who's a magistrate judge, which is like one notch below a regular federal district judge, not saying that a magistrate judge isn't an important judge. It is. But it's not a high ranking judge. It's not an appellate judge. It's not anyone, big, high up in the system. But he's decided, Reinhart's decided to have some of the affidavit released. And I think that seems to be that he's thinking a lot about public perception and whether this is viewed as fair. And I think it's odd that at this stage he's worried about public perception. I know it's a big case and it's unusual and it's unprecedented. So people doing unprecedented things is not weird. Because, it's just, we've never been in this territory before. So I'm not slamming the judge. I'm just saying it's kind of unusual.
It is. Because, again, we understand the importance of it. Everybody does. But we're all supposed to be equal under the law. And there should not be not just any special treatment, but frankly, any special handling of the case. You either believe right in the way that you are handling things or you don't. And if you wouldn't typically, release even a redacted affidavit in this, in previous cases, why would you do it just in this one? Now, obviously, there are serious national security concerns, which might lead people to say, well, we should at least get a sense for what prompted this. My concern, and I will admit it's a bit naive, but I'm going to put it out there anyway, is no matter how much they redact, I know how smart people like you are and a whole ton of other journalists and, frankly, other political operatives, and they can retract, that FBI agent, Jim Johnson. And they can even retract the date or whatever. But, if they put in there the Burger King at Constitution and K Street, somebody's going to know, hey, I know which FBI agent goes there every day. And, right. And again, I know that sounds a bit naive, but frankly, I don't know that any breadcrumbs are really warranted to be putting on the trail right now.
Well, that's the funny thing. I mean, I've been involved in redacted documents that were released to the news media where somebody did them technically wrong, and we were able to remove them. We would, you know, they coded them wrong. There were the black bars over the lines. And when we, you know, copied the file, we were able to remove the redactions. And that was embarrassing. And that kind of thing happens. And also, even really smart people make mistakes. And so I could see there's always the potential. And this is why the feds, you know, aren't real excited about, you know, releasing stuff like this, is because something could get out that they didn't realize that could affect the case. Now, I think that the Trump people, Team Trump would probably be happy for the affidavit to get out, because maybe it would give them hints to who they're going after, so that they can try to intimidate witnesses, which is something that they like to do as well.
Let's go ahead.
No, the other thing that just really amuses me, or just leaves me gobsmacked about this case, is how many different explanations for why this happened there are. First, they're, you know, fake. They were planted documents. Then they was okay because they're no longer confidential because he declared them all, you know, which is also an irrelevant case. They keep on bringing up things that have nothing to do with anything to try to suggest that stealing documents from the White House and refusing to give them up for more than a year after they're being demanded by the National Archives and the Department of Justice is somehow okay. And clearly it's not. And, you know, Pat, the other thing that I was thinking about this yesterday, I was thinking about the whole search of Mar-a-Lago. And then I thought, well, what were we doing a month ago? A month ago, we didn't even know about about Mar-a-Lago and the records. We were thinking that Donald Trump definitely deserved to go to prison because he had incited a coup that had led to deaths. He had that an attempt to overthrow democracy, to fake electors, an attempt to fake the election. He'd committed treason before we knew anything about this search warrant stuff.
Before that makes the documents that, you know, Julius and Ethel Rosenberg had might look like small potatoes by the time we're done figuring this out.
So it's one of those things where, I mean, this is my personal opinion. Nobody's been tried or anything like that, or even Trump hasn't even been charged. But just based on the evidence we have in front of us, there are multiple reasons why he should be in prison. Mm-hmm. Multiple reasons. I mean, you take one reason, throw it out. There's another reason. There's and what's going on in Atlanta about the with the investigation of trying to overturn that election, which we have on audio tape suggesting to the Secretary of State that he go find 11,000 votes that didn't exist. And I mean, that's vote fraud. That's election fraud. The guy should be in prison. And it's come to the point now where I feel like there's so much evidence against him. And there's probably a lot of evidence we don't even know, that it's become a test of our system of justice. If he does, I mean, if this guy can get away with this much outrageous conduct, this many crimes, then why should we believe in our system of justice?
And that's why, and this might be a little too personal, and I don't want to get any people of faith upset with me. All I'm saying is everything that's happened since then and what he and others have been able to do without facing accountability, if ever somebody makes the case, are we just living in a simulation? This does it, because I got to feel the simulation is, how much more can we put in here? How much more injustice or unfairness before you just finally crack? Because, again, we're still waiting on his taxes, for goodness sakes, you know?
Right. Which that's been like, what, 5 years or something like that?
Yes.
And I also think about that woman in Texas who had a criminal record and voted and didn't realize she couldn't vote, you know, and has spent years in prison.
Yeah.
For a mistake, for not understanding the voting system, in something that ultimately, as it turned out, didn't hurt anyone.
Right.
And yet you have the ex-president of the United States, you know, stealing records of extremely, you know, top secret information and refusing to give them back. And that guy is playing golf today. I mean, come on.
Right.
How unfair can the system be and for us to tolerate?
Mark Jacob joins us now, and we're talking about some of the headlines of the week and how media has covered it. And I think I know the answer to this, but I feel like I need to ask anyway. And I'm probably going to ask it every week and every chance I get. Were there any instances this week where a prominent Republican stepped in front of some cameras and microphones and said, I've seen enough. I believe this guy did something wrong, or I would like to see some, or has it been once again, 100% unanimity with everybody on the same talking point, or actually talking points that, you know, it was the FBI's fault, blah, blah, blah. Are we aware of any Republicans that kind of, you know, changed their tune this week?
No, I'm not. You know, the only two prominent Republicans I can think of who have really spoken out, at least lawmakers, are Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger. And neither one of them is going to be in the next Congress. And so it just seems like this whole collection of cowardly behavior where, you know, they know, Pat, that's the thing that drives me nuts about this is these are not stupid people. Many of them have advanced degrees, they have professional, you know, qualifications, they are smart people. They know this is all BS. They know that the big lie is a lie. They are simply decided that they've chosen their own ambitions over country and their party over country. They've simply decided that this is what it takes for them to get ahead, to have a, you know, a nice, you know, chauffeur driven trip to the airport and to be invited to all the good parties. And that when they get out of service to get, you know, hired by some lobbyist that contributed to their campaign, they have simply decided that their own personal ambition is way more important than our country.
And for that, they have to stay in power, but to stay in power or get back into the majority rather means that they're going to have what people thought initially was going to be a successful November. Now it's not quite so clear. So let me put it to you this way. Which do you think concerns Republicans more after this week? Herschel Walker running in Georgia or the results of the special election in New York 19 this week?
Yeah, New York 19. I mean, all that matters is winning. The funny thing is that they're not even pretending that it matters what they're winning for, what they're going to. That's a thing. And again, just to be really clear, I think I've mentioned this before. I'm the child of Goldwater supporters. It's not like it came out of some sort of communist cult. I have watched the Republican Party for a long time, and they have gone to the dark side. It is a very disappointing thing to see that what they used to call values, they don't care about anymore. You look what happened in Arizona with Blake Masters scrubbing his website to make it seem as if he's not more anti-abortion. He's seen what's happened. He sees what the public is doing. So, and he sees what happened in Kansas also. And Republicans are scared to death about the Roe versus Wade issue, and they should be.
Well, they should be. And this week's results only further bear that out. Mark Jacob is our guest. We're going to take a break. On Monday, Senator Jeff Smith, State Senate candidate Kelly Westland. And if you want to send us a note, send it to radio@upnorthnewswi.com. We'll be back. 25 or 6 to 4.